Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. So whenever we look at the scripture text for today, we know that Pentecost start, the day of Pentecost, of course, is when the Holy Spirit came 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. So that's why in a Jewish holiday, it's Pentecost is 50 days after. Now there's some, it's 40 days. I don't know why some say 40 and some say 50, but it's 50 days after. And Pentecost is a celebration, a Jewish holiday. Well, it is on this feast that the disciples, Jesus had told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, He told them to go to Jerusalem, to tarry there until they be empowered from on high. So the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was kind of the beginning of the new era, the church age, the empowerment of the church age. So the Holy Spirit came to empower the believers, the followers. And this is where the Spirit came, those in the upper room, as they were waiting on God, praying there, the 120. The Holy Spirit came, and there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. There was, as it were, fire, tongues of fire that was upon each of the individuals, and each of the individuals spoke in a language that they did not know. And as you as the sound and the roar, it not only was heard by those in the upper room, it was heard by those around. And so there became a crowd of people, you know, outside of this upper room. And it was there that these people heard the individuals from Jerusalem, from that region, speaking in their own language. And these people who were outside listening, they were from other parts of the world, and they had come into Jerusalem for this holiday. So on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, there were these individuals speaking in a language they didn't know, and they were telling and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ to these people who were from foreign lands. And the people from foreign lands was like, how can this be? Aren't these people just unlearned? They don't know our language, but yet they're speaking it fluently. So anyhow, that was the day of Pentecost and Peter's sermon, and 5,000 people were added to the church that day. So that was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at that time. Now, what happened in church history is a number of people who did not believe. Well, let's just put it this way. They believed that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, and a lot of them, it always amazed me, and they believed that the people in the upper room were speaking and giving a message, and they were just proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was changing the language and making the hearers hear it in their own language. So the people in the upper room were not actually speaking in a different language. The Holy Spirit helped those to interpret, okay? Those who were listening could interpret. And some of the early missionaries, they would go to these foreign lands and they would preach the gospel, and they were assuming that as they spoke in English, that the Holy Spirit was changing it over for these individuals to hear it and understand it in their own language, because that was what they believed Pentecost to be. And, of course, it didn't work. So then the thought was that it was only an experience for that time period, for the day of Pentecost. And what we have here in our lesson today are the three occasions that later on, through the book of Acts, which is actually the Acts of the Apostles, is that it happens at a different time frame. It happens not the same week or month, but it kind of has a sequence of years between the first in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10 and in Acts chapter 16. So whenever you have these things going on, it happened at different time periods and different places with different individuals, different nationalities. So, you know, it even happened to the Gentiles. So this was a big change for the church, and especially for the Jewish believers, because again, they were assuming that the message of Jesus Christ was just for them, you know, just like the Old Testament and the laws and God's law and so on was for the Jewish people. Well, they assumed that believing in Christ and the Holy Spirit was only for Jews, and so we've studied how that in Galatia our last lessons that how that Paul had a hard time with the Judaizers who continued to think that the ministry of Christ was only for Jews and that you had to fulfill all of the laws in order to be acceptable to Jesus. But we find here with the Holy Spirit how that the Holy Spirit changed that, because what happened to the Jews and Jewish people in Jerusalem and in the upper room, the same empowerment by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language they didn't know happened to Gentiles and happened to people in a different, whole different region. So, and then they went back, Peter and the others went back to Jerusalem and says, well, we know that this is God because they did the very thing, they're speaking the same way that we did on the day of Pentecost. So God has to be moving in their life. And for those who argued that the Holy Spirit didn't was not baptizing people in the Spirit anymore, well, it was evident in the house of Cornelius and in these other places, it was evident that these people had accepted Jesus as their Savior and that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so that's whenever the Jewish council decides, wow, I guess God is taking this message to the Gentiles also. And the reason they knew that God had taken it to the Gentiles was that the Pentecostal experience of the Pentecost experience in the upper room happened to these people. So it was like a verification that they accepted Christ. So the first one is chapter 8. The preaching of the gospel in Samaria marked a transition from the Jewish to the Gentile missions, and that's our first lesson is in 8. Then chapter 10, Peter's vision at Joppa, where Peter has this vision of this sheet coming out of heaven and all these unclean animals on it. And, you know, and Peter says, well, you know, the Lord says, eat. And he said, I can't, they're unclean. And God says to Peter in his vision, don't call unclean what I've cleaned, what I've called, you know, whole, cleansed. And so that's whenever the messenger from Cornelius's home comes and says, come to the house of Cornelius. And so that's, we have that one. And then chapter 11, Peter enters a Gentile home and associates with the people who are considered heathen. And he gets in trouble for doing that. So we'll begin. It talks about an illustration here of a Nigerian in a Pentecostal church in New York City, and how that one of the people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit from New York City, born and raised in New York City, spoke in a language that the Nigerian understood. It was his language from Nigeria, and he was just visiting the United States and visiting the church, and so it was in the same language. Well, we had Sister Byers had the, you know, our missionary. She had the same experience whenever they were in a typhoon, that she was praying and all of her children, she thought that, you know, her orphanage was going to be destroyed. And she was praying and things, and one of the Japanese children spoke to her in English that God was with them and God was going to protect her and the orphanage would not be harmed. You know, so the Japanese child had no idea what he was saying, but he was praising God and he spoke in the English language, and Sister Byers, you know, she took that as the affirmation that God was going to save the orphanage. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much operative in our lives, and the message that I have for this morning is meet the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about how that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and how that he is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three yet one. So we're going to talk about that a little later. But in this lesson, we have the Holy Spirit, and when we think of the Holy Spirit here, we're often thinking of speaking in tongues, and that's just one of the gifts of the Spirit. But it was the initial physical evidence that God had changed them and that they had accepted Christ as their Savior. So it was the initial physical evidence that they were baptized in the Spirit. So, Acts chapter 8. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, this is the same Samaria where Jesus goes to and meets the woman at the well. And, you know, all the people come out from the city. You know, she goes back and says, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And they come out and they hear the message of Jesus. And they, you know, she stays there and they witness. And there's this movement of belief in Jesus. Well, Philip now, at this stage, he goes down to the Samaritans. And this is a transition because they're moving not out of the Gentiles. Remember, the people of Samaria were Jewish individuals who had married Gentiles. So it was a mixed race. So it wasn't too far out for them to go and to believe, you know, to Gentiles entirely. So this is kind of, you know, treading on, in our terminology, be treading on thin ice. They don't have ice over there. But anyhow, so that's a little joke there. So it was logical then that the first step out of Judea should be into Samaria. Remember, what was the message? You'll preach the gospel to in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this was the natural progression then for the message then to go to Samaria. This Samaria, the word Samaria is often confused with the capital of in the Old Testament. Samaria is the name of the capital of the northern kingdom, which sometimes the word refers to the nation, and sometimes it refers to the city. So this is referring to the town. So Philip was one of the seven deacons. So remember whenever Stephen was one of the deacons, and he was stoned, well, Philip was one of those deacons also. And he arrived in Samaria and preached Jesus as the Messiah. And so Luke, as he's writing this message, he doesn't, the author here of the commentary says, he doesn't provide specific information concerning the city in which Philip preached. So there's Samaria. All right. So the term translated preached often is associated with the proclamation of Jesus Christ as Savior and risen from the dead. And so God entrusted not only the 12, but he also entrusted these deacons to also go out and preach the message. So Luke specifies that what kind of miracles happened among the Samaritan population. He said, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So the miracles then and healings brought great joy to the people. So the people saw the miracles that were happening, and they heard the message that was happening. But when they believed, verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, that baptized is baptized in water. So they believed, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were baptized in water. Now, verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, okay, so Jerusalem is the hub, the center of the church. You know, the disciples primarily are there. Many of the disciples are primarily there. And whenever they had heard what it, the message was preached in Samaria, and they had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Okay, so they've heard the message, and people are being healed, and they are believing in Jesus, and they are being baptized in water. Wow, this is pretty big news, but is it real? I mean, can anything positive come from this message going to these mixed race? They're not pure Jewish people. So how is this true that it can go there? So Peter and John then are sent by the council there in Jerusalem. And who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So when they are there, they are praying for them. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that had happened at Pentecost in Jerusalem had not happened to these individuals there in Samaria, only that they had been saved. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So received the word of God confirms that they had heard the message, and they had given their life to Christ. And then the Samaritans had their own personal Pentecost when Peter got there and was praying for them. So the Samaritan believers received the Holy Spirit as Peter and John laid their hands on them. So again, what happens here is there must have been a visible sign. There had to have been something that transpired whenever Peter and John laid their hands on them. There had to have been something take place, because in other texts, Simon the sorcerer, he went to Peter and John and he wanted to purchase from them whatever it was he had, that he could do that to these people and they could receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do that, and so he wanted to purchase. You know, you got to buy this, don't you? So that's what Simon the sorcerer wanted to do. He wanted to buy this power that Peter and John had, but it didn't work. So that's the Holy Spirit in Samaria. Mm-hmm. Right. We go back to the first part of the text. They believed Philip's preaching concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's verse 12. They believed in Jesus. They had received Christ as their Savior. They, you know, and they were being baptized in water. Okay. So I think somewhere in the lesson it talks about. No, it's in my other lesson. It talks about how that. There are different ways that the Holy Spirit has been received. One, always, first of all, is that you must believe in Jesus Christ and your sins be forgiven. Boom. Okay. Then there were some who were baptized in water, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there are other occasions in which people were believers and they received the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized in water. So it isn't like you have to go A, B, and C, but you have to have A. B and C can be, you know, back and forth. But being baptized in water and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it can be either way. But you have to know Christ as your Savior. Because the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. And that the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to serve Jesus Christ. If what we have is not serving Jesus, then the Holy Spirit's not going to, it's not about serving us, and it's not about worshiping the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always directs the attention towards Christ. Jesus says, I have come to glorify the Father. I come to do my Father's will. You know, so he's in his life here on earth, he is subject to the will of the Father. Well, the Holy Spirit is subject to the will of Christ and the Father. And they are three equal. One is not greater than the other. And so in our thinking, well, if we're glorifying the other, then the one that's on top is the most important, and then you go down the ladder, you know, it doesn't work that way. So we have all three equal yet distinct, and how that the Holy Spirit then has come to, it is the initial physical evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the complicated, no, I don't want to say complicated, is that whenever we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, we receive the Holy Spirit, okay? The Spirit of God abides within us. The Holy Spirit is, we cannot know God unless the Spirit reveals him. So the Spirit reveals to us the will, the purpose of God. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God. What we know of God isn't necessarily just what we've learned in our head, that we have the wisdom of God to know the application of the Word of God to our life. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, there are people who have knowledge of God, but they don't have faith in God. There are people who believe in the Scriptures, but they do not believe in Christ to forgive them of their sins. See, belief, well, the devils believe. You know, even Satan believes, but he's not going to heaven. So belief then comes to confession. Our belief in Christ, the Holy Spirit, brings us to this place of understanding in our heart and our mind, our soul. He gives us this place of understanding that we are Christ, and that our sins are forgiven. Our name is written in God's book of life, and when we die, we're going to go to heaven. That's the Holy Spirit making those things real to us. So, other thoughts, questions? One of the things, I think it's, we'll come across it if I don't. Oh, yeah, it's in this next section. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, always, not always, whenever we hear, we're asking, you know, some of the songs we sing and our prayers are, we're praying that the Holy Spirit would come to us, or that the Holy Spirit would hear, you know, that, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power, come in your own special way. It's a chorus. I don't know if we've ever sung it. But so come, meaning that it's like we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come. Well, and that's a nice thought, but the Holy Spirit is already here. So the idea of coming is more of a opening my mind and heart to your presence that is already here. So when it says that the Holy Spirit fell on them, it means that they were preaching, and what happened was the Holy Spirit just, boom, you know, opened up. And it was like interrupted everything that they were talking about, and the Holy Spirit was there. And what happened, and they of the circumcised which believed were astonished. So when the people, Peter is at the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius is a Gentile. And this is the one who had the vision that he was supposed to go to the house of Peter, go to Peter's house and tell him to come here and preach to you. And Peter has the vision of the sheet coming from heaven. And Cornelius is a Gentile. Peter, he's a Jew, and he's not coming to no Gentile's house. That's unclean. And so he has the vision, go to this place. And so as soon as he finishes the vision, there's a knock at the door. Can Peter come to our house? Okay. So when Peter arrives there, he knows that God has sent him there. And so he begins to explain Jesus Christ and the ministry of Christ and what has been accomplished, his death, burial, and resurrection. In the midst of all this, the Holy Spirit, there's these people in their faith, they're just believing, and their hearts are open, and boom, they receive the Holy Spirit. And it was, and those of the circumcision, those Jews who were circumcised, who were at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, saw Cornelius and his follower and his household receiving the Holy Spirit just like they did in chapter 2, verse 4, at the upper room. It's like, whoa, you know, wasn't expecting that. You know, what happened? So those of, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. It's like, this can't happen. These are Gentiles. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured the gift of the Holy Spirit. So all of those who came with Peter witnessed this. And they're all kind of like, whoa, something's going on here. You know, this can't happen. These are Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and then answered Peter, can any man forbid them water? So now they had believed, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now they were baptized in water. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed for Peter, so will you just stay a little longer? Stay here and help us sort this together. So, what else we got here? So, the gift that they had received was indisputable. You know, what they received, what the house of Cornelius received, was unquestionable. This is exactly what happened to us at Pentecost. And now it's happened to the Gentiles, and it's happened here to the house of Cornelius. One of the things here says, a language that Cornelius or some of his friends may not have been able to speak, but which Peter would have understood. I never heard that part. That Peter heard them speak in tongues or in a language that they didn't know, but it is thought that perhaps some of those who were speaking, you know, Peter, well-traveled individual, Peter understood some of them in their message that they were speaking in a language that they didn't know, and Peter understood it, and he was hearing them glorify God in a language that they shouldn't have known. We had a minister, one of my the pastor that was my pastor when I was growing up, when he was in Jeanette, he had a member of his congregation who was from the old country. Italian, and they were, you know, where they were from was a very distinct dialect of a region, you know, like we have the north and the south. Well, this individual had a distinct dialect from where they came from in Italy. All right, well, they are, you know, been in America for a long time, and at the church, a person received the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in that language, in that dialect that this person understood completely and had never heard since they were a child and had left Italy. So it's unknown to us, but not unknown sometimes. What else? Acts chapter 11. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So here we go again. Fell on them, meaning that it was the Holy Spirit just came, you know, just boom, it was there. The Holy Spirit was there. In Bible school, we would have these times, maybe once a year, if fortunate, that you would have these moments that in chapel or in the services that they would have. When I went, we had five chapels and Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, church. So we had a lot of church. But in some of those services, this happened maybe once or twice, once a year, twice a year if you were fortunate, that you would be there and just showing up like a normal service, and all of a sudden it was like the Spirit was there and people were speaking in tongues and what we call slain in the Spirit, and worshiping God, and that would go on sometimes for 4 or 5 days. So it was a very unique perspective. But the understanding is that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we produce. You know, we schedule into the service a time in which, you know, God's going to do this. He just does. He's sovereign. He does whatever the desire of the hearts are. He's the one who allows, makes, empowers us as we open our hearts and minds to Him. He empowers us. So, they then remember. Okay, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So he's remembering now what Jesus had said. And at the time, they didn't know what it meant, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. What is that? Well, for as much then, verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, God baptized them in the same way He baptized us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? I can't tell these people, stop that. You are Gentiles. You can't do that. You know, God, do you know what you're doing here? You know. So when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God hath also the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And so he's explaining to the Jewish council what has happened. And it was interesting. When Peter returned to Jerusalem, he was criticized, not for preaching to the Gentiles, but for associating with them without regard for the purification or the purification laws. He was criticized, not that he preached, but you broke the law. You went in there and you became defiled. You know, they're going through this whole thing again, and it's, everything is changing. So, verse Acts chapter 19. Verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, certain disciples, the idea is that they were some Jewish disciples, he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So these were people, it is thought that they were individuals who were from John, you know, John's baptism, that he baptized them to repentance, or whether they had been, they had received Christ, some of them had received Christ and forgiveness, but they were not familiar with Pentecost. They were not familiar with the Holy Spirit. And so, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, says the order of repentance. We already talked about that. Then chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? So what's going on here is Paul is asking them, okay, what do you mean by baptized? He's kind of looking for clarification. You know, whenever I would minister to people in the hospital and hospice especially, I'd always ask them, well, do you have a background, you know, church, religious background? I'd always want to try and find out, well, what are their beliefs, so I knew where to begin. You know, you can't assume everybody's lost and everybody's going to heaven. It's, you know, where are you at? What's going on in your life? And what do you believe? And, you know, do you have communion? Do you ever take communion? And I would try to take them to their understanding of their faith and then bring Christ and how that Christ was involved in that and how that Christ forgives us of our sins. And that's a declaration or an understanding of what Christ is. And so bring them to the point of forgiveness and salvation, or, you know, forgiveness of sin, by reminding them and explaining to them what they believe. So Paul is kind of doing the very same thing here. He is looking at what we mean by baptized. You know, were you baptized in water? Were you, you know, what happened here? So he was asking for clarification. Then he could correct the problems, if there were any, and help them to understand what was going on. And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. Okay? So they know John's baptism is baptism by water. Then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ. So he's telling them, that's why you were baptized, is to believe, for repentance, to believe on Jesus Christ. Then verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So we find that they were moved to be baptized again, water. The only place in the New Testament that rebaptism is mentioned. Whenever we were in Jerusalem or whenever we were in Israel, people wanted to be baptized in the Jordan River. And some said, I've already been baptized. I said, God won't mind. If you want to be baptized in the Jordan River, we'll do it. So it was okay, you know. And right here it is. That was okay. So they were immersed by Paul, or a companion, and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Emphasis here throughout Acts is that those baptized were making a public proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior. So the baptism was important not to wash away their sin. Their sin was already washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a public declaration to everyone else that they were followers of Jesus Christ. That's why they were being baptized. And then Paul laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon them with manifestations consistent with those that had been received in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 in Jerusalem. So here again we have the physical evidence of what took place in the upper room in Jerusalem now taking place here with this in Ephesus. What is here in this town, Ephesus, that they were receiving the Holy Spirit, just and they received the gifts and the manifestation as was happened in Acts chapter 2. So I have an important thing written by this that I should read it. The Greek tense used indicates that this became a normal part of the Christian experience as it should be in ours. This spirit event did not make them Christians. It resulted from a prior acceptance of Christ as Savior. So there is no getting by. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you can't be baptized in the Spirit. They were now prepared for service, meaning that because of the Spirit's baptism, the coming of, it was a preparation, empowering, a physical manifestation of an empowerment for service of to Christ. And it was the beginning of their journey of holiness, service, worship. So it was part of their ongrowing life in the Spirit and life with Jesus Christ. And so it was very much a part of the early church and very much a part through the book of Acts, how that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, came upon those in Jerusalem, then went out from there to the house of Cornelius, and then here to Ephesus and to different parts, different time periods throughout the book of Acts. So that is what happened as we look at Pentecost, or look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how that it continued to grow throughout the early church. Any questions? More like any thoughts? Well, next week, new quarter, June 7th. So 9 o'clock, tune in, 9 o'clock for Sunday school, 10 o'clock for church. Father, thank you that you've heard our prayers, and God, we thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that teaches and guides and leads us and, Lord, empowers us for service. So we pray that you would take your word and open our hearts and minds that we might be receptive, that we can receive your blessing and your giftings in a way that continue to empower us to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.